Cyril Boggess was an antiques dealer. His shop wasn't the largest in Chelsea, nor was it the most fashionable. But in one respect, at least, it enjoyed an enviable reputation.
Good heavens, Mr. Boggess. Isn't this little table a Sheraton original?
It was known as a place where scarce and unusual items were offered for sale with quite astonishing regularity.
Ah, it is indeed, Lady Harcourt. I acquired it last week along with an exceptionally elegant set of Hepplewhite chairs.
Sheraton? Hepplewhite? How do you do it? How do you find them?
How indeed? As a matter of fact, it was simple.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small.
Every Sunday, Mr. Boggess put on a dog collar and a jaunty Panama hat and drove out into the countryside.
Morning, Parson.
He had long ago realized that the houses and farms of rural England were a treasure trove of rare and valuable antiques. In many cases, the owners were ignorant of the true worth of their family heirlooms and could often be persuaded to sell them for little more than a few shillings. There was, however, a problem.
Country folk are a suspicious lot. You can't just knock on their doors and expect to be let in.
He tried out a number of different disguises until he finally found one that worked.
The Reverend Cyril Boggess.
As a man of the cloth with a passion for old furniture, he discovered it was easy to inveigle his way into people's houses, and if, once inside, he saw something that took his fancy, no one thought it amiss if he made them an offer.
After all, who could possibly think ill of a kindly old parson?
Mr. Boggess had never visited the village of Parlow before, but when he found it on the map, he decided it was just the sort of impoverished backwater where he might do well. He drove his car up one of the hills that overlooked it and got out.
You'll be lucky here today, Boggess, I can tell.
Using a pair of powerful binoculars, he began searching for places that might warrant a visit. Before long, he'd spotted a nicely dilapidated Queen Anne house, and beyond that, several likely-looking farms. He decided he'd visit the Queen Anne first.
It's by far the nearest. Anyway, its owners could clearly do with some cash.
He parked his car a short distance from the house and finished his journey on foot. People didn't associate dear old clergymen with massive great station wagons, so he always kept his hidden until after a deal was complete.
Who are you and what do you want?
The woman who answered the front door was a mottled-faced giantess in riding breeches.
The name's Boggess, dear lady, the Reverend Cyril Boggess. Have you by any chance heard of the Society for the Preservation of Rare Furniture?
She hadn't, which wasn't surprising. It didn't exist.
Well, I have the honour to be its president, and I'm currently attempting to compile an inventory of the treasures hidden inside the country homes of England. Would it be possible, I wanted to take a brief tour of your house in case you have anything worth writing about for our society magazine?
I'm not sure. The whole thing smacks of socialism to me.
From then on, it was easy. A Tory in riding breeches was never hard work.
Socialism? Oh, I'd sooner be cast into the pit than have truck with a movement so implacably opposed to blood sports.
That's what I like to hear. Strong opinions firmly held. Come on in, Parson. I don't know what the hell it is you're after, but come on in.
Unfortunately, the Queen Anne house contained nothing to interest Mr. Boggess, so after 15 minutes he made his excuses and left. His next port of call was a broken-down old farmstead situated some way back in the fields.
It's no good, Mr. Rummins. It still won't start.
Oh, you're not hitting it right. Let me have a go.
He found two men out in the yard, belabouring a tractor with an enormous spanner.
Good morning. Isn't it a lovely day?
They turned to look at him with cold, wary eyes.
You're not our usual parson. What do you want?
Do I have the pleasure of addressing the owner of this magnificent farm?
Claude helps me out. I own the farm. And you still haven't said what you want.
For the second time that morning, Mr. Boggess introduced himself and explained the aims and ideals of the Society for the Preservation of Rare Furniture. His audience of two looked decidedly unimpressed.
If it's rare furniture you're after, you're wasting your time. We haven't any.
The last man who said that to me was a farmer down in Sussex. When he finally let me in, I found a dirty-looking chair worth £400.
£400? God, you're having us on.
It's the gospel truth, my friend. He sold it and used the money to buy a new tractor.
You better come in and look round, then. I could do with a new tractor myself.
And, his little eyes glistening with expectation, he led Mr. Boggess to the back door.
This way, parson. Living room's through here.
The farmhouse was, if anything, even dirtier inside than out. Mr. Boggess was preparing to reconcile himself to an entirely wasted morning when suddenly he saw it.
Oh, my God.
A layman might have dismissed it as an old chest of drawers that someone had painted white. But Mr. Boggess knew it for what it was.
A Chippendale commode.
Only three Chippendale commodes were known to exist, each one coveted by collectors all over the world. And here was Mr. Boggess staring at a fourth.
You all right, parson?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Only you got a bit pale.
Careful, Boggess. Don't let on.
Forgive me. It's my heart.
Your heart?
Yes, it plays me up from time to time.
We thought maybe you'd seen something.
Seen something? Good heavens, no, no. I'll be fine if I just sit down.
But Claude, fetch the parson a glass of water.
Yeah, all right.
Whilst Claude was in the kitchen, Mr. Boggess started making rapid calculations. The last Chippendale commode to be sold had fetched nearly 4,000 guineas, and that had been 40 years ago, back in 1921. The Chippendale commode he was looking at now should easily fetch 10 times as much. Possibly more.
Drink up, parson. You feeling any better?
Much. Thank you. Soon passes. Now, where was I?
A trifle unsteadily, Mr. Boggess stood up and started walking around examining the furniture.
A nice oak table, but not old enough to be of any interest. Good comfortable chairs, but again too modern. Same story with that cupboard, I'm afraid. And as for this chest of drawers...
He nodded at the Chippendale commode.
It might fetch a few shillings, I suppose, but it's rather a crude reproduction of something a great deal older. Who painted it white?
I did.
A very wise move. It's considerably less offensive in white.
Solid bit of furniture, that is. Lovely carvings on it, too.
Machine carved, I'm afraid. It's hard to imagine anyone being very interested in it. Although...
Yeah?
I have a little table at home. Its legs were damaged when I moved house last Michaelmas. I was just thinking, if I were to remove the legs from your chest of drawers, I could probably attach them to my table quite easily.
What you're saying is you'd like to buy it.
Yeah, I might. Oh, but then again, no, it's too much trouble. I'd better leave it.
How much were you thinking of offering?
Not a great deal, I'm afraid. It's only a reproduction, after all, not a genuine antique.
How can you be so sure it's a fake, parson? You haven't even seen what it looks like under all that paint.
Very well. I'll show you.
Mr. Boggess produced a penknife and carefully scraped away a small patch of paint from the top of the commode.
There you are. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with it?
It's been processed with lime. That's what they used to darken mahogany and make it look old.
How can you tell?
Look closely at the grain. Do you see touches of orange amongst the dark red-brown?
Yeah.
That's a sure sign they use lime. And then, of course, there's the patina.
There's the what?
The patina. The surface sheen that comes with old age. Run your fingers over it, my friend. How does it feel? Warm or cold?
Well, it feels cold.
Precisely. A genuine patina will always feel warm.
Well, I'll be damned.
Shameful the efforts the ungodly will make to deceive the innocent.
But now, I'm afraid I really must be off. I do hope I haven't been too much of a bore.
Just a minute, Parson. You still haven't told me how much you'll pay me for it.
You mean you really wish to part with it?
I didn't say that. I asked how much.
Oh, I don't know. Shall we say £10? Would that be fair?
£10? Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, it's worth more than that for firewood.
It's just a second-hand reproduction, my friends, but... Oh, I'm feeling reckless, so I'll say 15. How about that?
Make it 50.
But I'm only interested in the legs. I might find a use for the drawers, but as for the rest of it, well... As your friend so rightly said, it's just firewood.
All right, then, 35.
Oh, I couldn't, sir. It's not worth it. But I'll make you one final offer, and then I must go. £20.
I'll take it. It's yours.
Oh, dear, what have I done?
You can't back out now, Parson. A deal's a deal. How will you be getting it home?
There's only one thing for it, gentlemen. I'll have to fetch my car.
As he walked towards the lay-by where his car was secreted, Mr. Boggess shouted for joy.
Oh, happy day! Oh, glory be!
He was going to be rich, and not just rich, famous too. The other Chippendale commodes all had names. There was the Chastleton commode and the two Raynham commodes. When his little discovery joined their exalted ranks, it too would need a name. And what might that be? Clearly, there was only one choice.
The Boggess commode.
You did well getting him up to £20, Mr. Robin. You reckon he'll pay?
We won't put it in his car till he do.
That's if it fits in his car.
What do you mean?
You need a van for that dirty great thing. And Parsons don't drive vans. They drive piddling little Austins and Morrises.
Mr. Rummins looked anxious for a moment. Then a sly grin crept across his face.
You remember the parson said he only wanted it for its legs?
Yeah.
Help me carry it outside. I've got an idea. Hey, well done, Claude. You've done a grand job.
Yeah. Do you reckon he'll want the rest of it now I've sawn the legs off? Only it still won't fit inside a car.
Don't worry, I've thought about that.
Mr. Boggess had insisted that he could only use the bulk of the commode as firewood, so that's what they turned it into. It was hard work demolishing it completely, even with long-handled axes, and by the time they'd finished, they both felt exhausted.
I tell you one thing, a bloody good carpenter put that lot together, whatever the parson says. I wonder if he'll pay us extra for chopping it up.
We'll soon find out. Look, here he comes now.